A little something something for you.
Fitter, happier. A program about your health for your health.
And childhood injuries are a significant issue across Western Australia. Every year in WA, 27 children die from preventable injuries and further 7,000 are hospitalised. On top of this, the latest stats show that every day 50 kids visit Princess Margaret Hospital emergency department due to an injury. And many of these visits are relatable to everyday childhood activities such as jumping on a trampoline, playing sport, or swallowing toy batteries even. And if you believe popular antidote, parents are increasingly distracted by digital devices and are taking their eyes off their kids. And today we have in the studio with us Scott Phillips, CEO of KidSafe. Scott, how are you going? Welcome to Fitter Happier.
Thanks for having me, Georgia.
So let's talk about kids. Let's talk about what's happening. Are they safe? How can we keep them safe? What can we do?
So what you've just read out is some of the stats around children in this state. And so 27 children a year are dying. I think that's a bit hidden. And these are from things that we would have called an accident in the past. So 27 children is a classroom full of children every year. We've also got 7,000 children having to just to go to PMH. So that's not the GP and other hospitals. That's just PMH, which is way too many for us. Now, the majority of these children are actually our youngest, so under five. A lot of that's happening in their own home, so it's not when they're out of their own home. And more we're seeing a lot of it happening during recreation. So you mentioned supervision. So recreation is not just sport, but it's when you're at the park and when you're out on your bike and things. It's just, I think we're getting a bit distracted by our technology at this point. So maybe supervision is just falling off a little.
So what are some of the common injuries associated with these children visiting the hospital?
Well, most of the injuries in the hospital, it can range. Most of our injuries come from a fall, so what we class as a fall. But that can be a slip and trip at home. That can be falling off a playground. That can be falling off a bike. It can be a trampoline. We have six children a week at the emergency department just from trampolines. So it's just making sure that we're supervising, and we call it active supervision, because it just means that you're actually paying attention to what you're doing, and that the supervision is making sure that that supervision is appropriate for the age of the child.
I am one of those kids. I was five. We got a trampoline for Christmas, and first day I think I broke my wrist or something like that.
Oh, that sounds, it's not uncommon. We want people on trampolines, but we just want to make sure that people know some of the simple things you can do to just make sure those injuries don't happen.
Sure. So we're not talking about wrapping kids up in cotton wool at all. We're talking about let's stop it before they hurt themselves.
Correct. And look, the last thing we want to do is stop children from being injured, because research also shows that if children avoid taking some risk and learning risk behaviours, then they basically get more injured later in their life. There was also an interesting study out today by Nature Play WA showing that the activity of our children is dropping below what they should be doing from health benefits. So we do want children out there, but we just want them in appropriate risk situations.
You know how for adults it's fine 30, you know, to maintain healthy. Is there something like that for kids?
What I heard this morning from, it's called the PLACE study, it was done at UWA, is that they want at least 60 minutes of active, you know, play outside at least. And there was 2/3 of children in their study not even meeting that.
All right. So let's talk about the risks. What are some of the more common safety risks associated with kids' toys, the toys themselves?
So toys is really about making sure you've got age-appropriate toys for children. So when we all go to the shop and we see that age range on there, that's actually been designed on more than likely how batteries are stored in them and what the small parts are. So small parts under the size of a 50-cent piece, so they can fit on top of a 50-cent piece, then they're a choking hazard for young children. So making sure that toys for your child or toys left around from older children, the small parts don't get into the mouths of little ones. and little children forever have explored with their mouths. So a lot of things go in your mouth and your nose and your ear. So particularly recently, these button batteries have become a problem where children are ingesting them. They're very powerful, and even when we think they're flat, they can actually cause quite significant damage within 2 hours if ingested by a child, young child.
Okay, wow, that's quite intense. I didn't realise that one little battery could have so much, such a huge role to play.
Yeah, and this is quite a new one over the last 5 to 10 years, that it's as we miniaturise everything and try and make everything more powerful, it's just how we're storing them and where these batteries are coming from isn't always toys. It can come from our key ring, it can come from our remote controls and other things in the house. So how we dispose of batteries and keep what we think dead batteries are away from little ones is really important.
So just reading a stat that males or young boys are at a greater risk of sustaining injury by 57%.
Yeah, it's always 3/5 are boys. Probably it's part of just how boys are with their development and how they will take risk. But you'll see that across a number of things. But the only thing we don't see that in is in farm injuries, where we see females as much because of horses and things like that.
Yeah, sure. So let's bring it back to, we've talked about outside, let's bring it to in the home. So we all know we can hurt ourselves at home, but what are some of the main risks for children?
Well, the main risk, one of the main risks we're having at the moment is poisoning within the home. It's how we're storing just cleaning chemicals, even medication in the home. The biggest cause of poisoning in the home is actually paracetamols. And children are getting that because we may be leaving it out. They watch us take it and think that's something that we can eat. And another place they're getting it from is from people's handbags. When they put down, they go exploring and we're leaving a medication in there. So medications are a huge risk in the home. Another one is how we store our cleaning fluids. And if we're doing that under the sink in the kitchen without putting it away, or we're storing it in containers that it wasn't in the first place. So for instance, you get a Coke bottle and you put in a cleaning fluid. Children will drink that. So we need to store things up high and away from children.
All right. So also I'm thinking furniture is a pretty big, you know, falls and stuff like that. But if we're renting and we can't put holes into the wall, what can we do to help keep it safe?
There has been some work done with the Department of Commerce, Consumer Protection, over the last few years, working with landlords and property managers on that. There were some rules about not securing furniture to the wall, but you should always ask your landlord or your property manager, can you do that? And if you can't secure something to the wall, you need really low furniture and you need to secure your TVs to the back of those. And another thing is never, ever, whether you're renting or not, store attractive items like the teddy bears or things on top of chests of drawers, because the reality is for children everything looks like a ladder, and if they can find a way to climb up, they will try and climb, and if it's not secured properly, the furniture will tip.
Where there's a will, there's a way. And something that's very timely in what, you know, right now, digital distractions. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about how parents are becoming digitally distracted.
Well, I think this is the anecdotal side at the moment. There needs to be some research done into this. But if you think, we're probably, all three of us here at the moment probably have our mobile phone within reach. And what's happening now is our social life, our work life, and our home life are all come together. So I like to call it like an attention deficit. We are tending to too many things at once, and sometimes we need to make sure that we are mindful when we are supervising our children. And so sometimes we can be sitting right next to them at the pool, but are we actually paying attention? Or at the park and children on playground and we're on our phone, you just really need to be actively supervising, because when things go wrong, it happens very quickly.
And so let's talk about the balance, getting the balance between allowing kids to have freedom and them exploring and doing normal childhood things, but then I'm not a parent myself, but what we feel to protect them, how can we balance that?
I think we need our children to have appropriate risk-taking as they develop. So it has to be appropriate to their age and cognitive development. So we just need to make sure that our youngest we know we'd supervise quickly. But we all know our child and when it's time that we can just back off a little bit. But really we shouldn't be thinking that some of the tools like pool gates and nets on trampolines and that are taking over our supervision role. They're great tools to have, but we still need to supervise. And sometimes we also, one of the things we're doing is we're getting older children to supervise younger children, and they're not always have the cognitive abilities to do that type of thing.
So right now on Fitter Happier, we're speaking to Scott Phillips, the CEO of KidSafe. If you wanted any more information, you can head on over to the KidSafe website, kidsafewa.com.au, or the injurymatters.org.au website. Scott, thank you so much for being on Fitter Happier.
Thanks, Georgia.
This has been an RTRFM podcast. RTRFM is an independent community radio station that relies on the public for financial support. You can subscribe online at rtrfm.com.au/subscribe.